Good morning. We are going to be looking at the book of James over the course of the next couple of months. And before we begin, let us go to our Heavenly Father in a word of prayer. Shall we pray together? Our most kind and loving Father in heaven, we humbly approach your throne of grace with thanksgiving in our hearts. We thank you, Father, for another day of life and this opportunity that we have to gather together, study another portion of your word, and sing songs of praise and honor to you. We pray, Father, for the things that we may learn here this morning may be beneficial to each and every one of us. And Father, we ask that you give us the wisdom so that we may apply these things to our lives in order to better serve you and bring others to you. Father, as we go through this hour, we pray that you would be with each and every one of us. For this we pray in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. Last week we looked at the introduction and also we explored what verse 1 says about James, a bondservant of Jesus Christ. And we went through several other characters we find in the Bible that relate to a servant of God, a slave of God, one who serves God. And James, the book of in James, we are going to jump into many different issues that confront Christians today, as it did back in the first century. And this book is filled with nuggets that we could add to our lives to be better servants of God. I will be gone next week, and in my absence, John Hicks will be taking over the class where I'll leave off, and I'll return the following week. They and I are going out of town. So with that, we are going to jump into our lesson, and we're going to look at the trials and temptations and what they produce, as James referred to as an attitude of joy. And we'll explore that this morning. We are also going to look at what he says about endurance, what the source of it, trials, testing, and temptations, and the purpose and results of endurance makes us more perfect, entire, mature, and complete. James is going to share with us in the first chapter the way we endure things. He's going to, first of all, suggest that we ask God for wisdom. We pray about it. We add that to our lives. And also ask in faith, an unwavering faith. If you waver, you receive nothing. And wavering shows instability in all things. You don't want to be wishy-washy about things. You want to ask God in faith for wisdom. He may not grant you everything that you ask for, but yet you are seeking God's help with an attitude of humility, with an attitude of knowing that He is the source of all wisdom. And when we read the Bible, we could see that there are many things that He had shared with those individuals who scribed the Bible with the assistance of the Holy Spirit, to give us some insight of what wisdom is. But in order to receive wisdom, we have to ask God for wisdom. It doesn't come on our own efforts. It's from the Lord. The next topic in these first few verses, James is going to deal with the status of the individual, how we should rejoice in one's status, in our status of life. And finally, what we all are seeking, the reward that we persevere for, a crown of life, eternal life in heaven. So that's what we're going to look at. And by the way, it looks like there aren't any more lesson sheets, but I will send Dean my lesson sheet for the second chapter next week, and he'll post that next week for the following week for you to have. Okay, with that, let's look at the first question I asked was, what is the required attitude when you encounter trials, and how does this increase your faith? Can I get someone to read verse 2?
There are all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials.
Thank you very much, Vicky. So we see that James says, and this is the New American Standard, consider it all joy when you encounter trials. In NIV, we read pure joy. That's what we are seeking. In the CEV, be glad that you encounter trials. And in the New King James Version, count it all joy. So what does that mean? To count joy when you encounter trials.
I think it means to see the positive.
Mm-hmm.
As an athlete, you train, but you really don't know how much grit you have. And then when you compete and you lose, it shows you that you need to train more.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, as Christians, we're going to face trials. And each one of those trials that we face and meet head on and conquer, or at least don't submit to, we strengthen our faith, we strengthen our mind, and it just makes the first time you run a mile, it's horrible. The ninth time you run a mile, you're ready to run a mile and a half. So it just gives you that confidence to press on and to know that you can handle what life throws at you.
Very good point. Faye, you had...
It's kind of the same thing. I was thinking it gives you an opportunity to grow. You're entering into something new. It's a huge life change, especially for these people, because they're under so much pressure. So it's a big decision.
Exactly. It's like someone coming to maturity. They gain the knowledge from their trials, and they're joyous about it because they are building up their faith. Carol.
God says you won't put anything before you that you can't handle.
Exactly.
And so there's joy in the fact that you know that God knows that you can do this. And it may take you a while to do it, but He has shown his approval that you will be able to do this. And there's joy in knowing that God, that you are approved by God.
Mm-hmm. And that's what we're all seeking, God's approval, so that we could worship him, we could praise him, we could honor him in whatever we encounter. And those trials are testing us, testing our faith. we're going to see that Abraham was tested when he had to offer up his son Isaac, Genesis chapter 21. And James will refer that to later on in this chapter, how no matter what the circumstances were, Abraham trusted in God and he followed his instructions. Something that Satan will try to pull us away from with our worldly encounters. Yeah.
I think it's interesting that you use the word trust, because we don't always think of joy as a trusting type situation. But when you trust in the Lord, it brings you joy that you can trust in him. And I think that those two go together. Really.
Absolutely. Yeah. In fact, Jesus is our example on how trials produce joy. Just think about it. Just think about what he endured for the sins of the world. Can I get someone to read Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, please?
Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, for the joy set before him, through the cross, despite the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of God. For consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary in his heart.
Thank you very much, Diane. So Jesus shares with us the joy that was set before him, and that was going to the cross. To me, that wouldn't be joyous, getting nailed to the cross, but yet he knew it was for humanity. It was what God demanded as the ultimate sacrifice for our sins. So he is our example. And the writer of Hebrews refers to the cloud of witnesses that is referring to chapter 11 with all those individuals. And we read about them. I did a sermon one time and called that the Hall of Fame of the Faithful. And those individuals had problems like you and I encounter in our lives, but they overcame them because they trust in God. They put their trust not in human wisdom, but in godly wisdom. And where do we find this godly wisdom? Exactly. We listen to what God shares with us through those writers of the Bible, and it's important that we adapt that to our lives. So how does this increase your faith, trials and temptations? It tests us. It puts us to our limits, and God knows what our limits are. It tries us. It allows us the opportunity to show the world what our faith is when we don't succumb to those trials. It proves us. It makes us worthy of our faith, because we stand secure before the Lord in our faith because we trust in him. We let him lead us, not the world. It makes us stronger. It makes us pure. And it also makes us righteous. We have the ability to overcome trials and temptations. Peter shares with us why we have trials. And can I get someone to read 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 14 through 16, please?
But even if you should suffer for the sake of righteousness, you are blessed. And do not fear their intimidation,
But sanctify Christ with more than your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence, and keep a good conscience so that in the thing in which you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ will be punished.
Thank you, Faith. So we see that we are blessed when we suffer for righteousness. And he goes on to say further in verse 15, but sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to anyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you. And you do it with gentleness and reverence. So what does the testing of your faith produce? Can I get someone to read verses 3 and 4, please?
The testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have the perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing.
Thank you, Ruth. So we see, James says, when you are tested, your faith produces endurance. And endurance expresses a growing determination in the face of adversity based on hope. And we do have that hope because each and every one of us are seeking to be with God in heaven. And these various trials in our lives are going to show that we are going to be faithful. So the endurance is the ability to withstand hardship and adversity. The act or the instance of endurance or suffering many hardships. We are going to encounter different sort of trials in our lives. Your trials may not be the same as mine, but we are going to encounter various trials. And a lot of times it's up to you and I to seek God's help. Ask him through prayer, through fervent prayer, to help you in your trials that you are suffering. And don't forget, God is not going to allow you to have a trial without an out, without an escape from that sin. So you have to go and really search the scriptures and apply them to our lives. Just as Peter had said, we have to give an account to anybody who asks us about our faith. And it's up to you and I to build upon that.
Benny?
Yes.
I think it's important that we remember that it's not just the word, but the word that dwells in his church. So when you're struggling with a problem, you need to look and see if there's someone like the elders or someone that you think might have an answer that you are able to go and get a godly answer from them too.
Mm-hmm. We as Christians have to support each other. We support each other when we have times of joy. We celebrate those with each other. And also when we are sad, it's up to our brothers and sisters to come together and help each other. That's important. It's important to note that you have a spiritual family that is there for you in all things. Faye, you had a comment?
Going back to what Dean said about the athlete. So when you have endurance, you had a problem, you got through the problem with God's help. So the next time you get to that problem, you might know the answer. And then it's easier, and so you're growing because you're enduring.
Very good point. Exactly. So we have joy in our trials, and we have endurance that we glean from that. And most important, it makes you mature. It makes you grow. It makes you complete, full, and you're lacking nothing. Kirsten.
So when I was reading that, I looked at the word attitude a lot because I felt like attitude on how you do it. For me, I just had out of my behavior and my around me, and then just cognitive, what am I? Was how I looked at that with both those questions.
That's a good way of looking at it, because the attitude that we display, not only to the world but to ourselves, is an attitude we should be putting God first in these trials. And that's why He has these trials in our lives. It makes us mature. It completes us. And we're lacking in nothing. Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 and 13, "Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you which comes upon you for your testing, as though some strange thing were happening to you. But to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing, so that also at the revelation of His glory you may rejoice with exultation." That's powerful when you look at that, because Christ suffered for you and I, and He did it joyously. And that's the attitude that He had, and that's the attitude that we should have in our lives. It's hard sometimes to deal with that. It's difficult at times to display that, but yet we know that God is going to reward us. We are not going to lack anything in our lives. He's going to give us abundance. He's going to give us the fullness of life. He is going to give us eternal life because we are working with Him on this earth. Paul says in Romans chapter 5, verses 3 through 5. And can I get a volunteer to read that, please?
"Not only this, but we also exult in our tribulation, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance proven character, and proven character hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who was given to us."
Thank you very much, Ty. So we see the Apostle Paul says, we exalt in our tribulations. And these tribulations produce perseverance. And he goes on to say, proven character and proven character hope. And the hope doesn't disappoint each and every one of us, because God is with us. When each and every one of us was baptized, He has given us the Holy Spirit to help us on our journey on time side of eternity. So it's up to us to continue with that. And Peter says essentially the same thing. He says in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 4 through 8. And I believe we looked at this earlier this morning during our praise portion of our assembly. He says, "By these He had granted to us His precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. Now for this very reason, also apply all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence, and your moral excellence, knowledge. And in your knowledge, self-control. And in your self-control, perseverance. And in your perseverance, godliness. And in your godliness, brotherly kindness. And in your brotherly kindness, for all these qualities are yours and are increasing if they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Again, going back to building and growing when you encounter trials in your lives. And Paul says, as God's not going to allow us to encounter a trial that we can't overcome or can't escape. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, and can I get a volunteer to read that particular verse, please? Thank you very much, Eileen. So there again, look to God's word for the encouragement when you face trials. And if a person's faith is genuine, it will prove itself during times of trouble. Whether the nature or source, whatever the nature or source of the trouble may be. Trials are to test the strength of our faith. In many ways, the Lord assists us in taking spiritual inventory by bringing trials into our lives to demonstrate to us the strength or weakness of our faith. Going back to Dean's example of an athlete training, and he's training to the best of his ability, and he loses whatever discipline he's in. And that tells him he has to go back and build on those things. It's important to do that. Trials are given to humble us and to remind us we should trust in the Lord. And God allows us to suffer trials in order to wean us from our dependency on worldly things. Where do you put your trust? In worldly wisdom or godly wisdom? That's what you have to be thinking about. And finally, trials are to call us to eternal and heavenly hope. It's going to build us up so that we can be mature Christians. When we first became a Christian, sometimes we just fell back into the world. But as we grow in Christianity in our lives, as we grow to maturity as a Christian, those trials, we can overcome them. And it's so important to get God's wisdom, and that's through us reading the Bible, us going to our spiritual family for assistance. Trials are to reveal what we really love, and that is God. And they are given to us to teach us to value God's blessings. We are so blessed in our lives as Christians, and we should remember everything that God has given us as a gift. And the Lord uses trials to develop in his saints enduring strength for greater usefulness in his kingdom. He puts trials in our lives so that we can grow and we could share his word with others. And finally, the Lord uses trials to enable us to better help others in their trials. As Carol had alluded to, we have a spiritual family, and it's our spiritual family that will help us. And just remember, look back to Abraham and see what he encountered in his life. And he overcame those trials, and God was with him. Okay, who are some individuals we read about in the Bible that turned defeat into victory and trials into triumph? Joseph? Uh-huh. Who else do we read about?
Job.
Very good example. Job. And in all his sufferings, he never cursed God. He always stood up for God, no matter what happened. Even his wife was nagging him. Hey, curse God because, look, he's doing this to you. He didn't do that. Who else?
Deborah,
J.L. Uh-huh.
And Tamar.
Exactly. Women in the Bible who endured many trials in their lives, but yet they stood up for God. Who else?
I thought of the wall of Jericho as well. It reminds Joshua and
uh-huh. There are a lot of examples we could go through in the Bible. We could go to Paul. Look what he had suffered as a Christian. We could go to David. And David was considered a man after God's heart, his own heart. But yet he's human like you and I. He sinned. Moses, he didn't want the job to leave the children of Israel. He wasn't worthy of that. But yet God said, you are my instrument, and you will. And he did. Look at Jesus. He encountered trials in his life. In Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. Same things we go through. But yet he overcame them. When you look at these individuals, we discussed them last week as servants of God. But yet they encountered trials in their lives, and they overcame them. In Joseph's case, as for you, you meant evil against me, talking to his brothers, but God meant it for good. In order to bring about this present result, to preserve many people alive. He knew God had a plan. And all the trials that he went through, he was still faithful to the Lord. And Paul says in Romans chapter 8 and verse 23, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love him, to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. God has a plan for you and I. We may not know what that plan is, but yet, he put us here for a reason, to be an influence. So how and why do we ask God for wisdom? And can I get someone to read verses 5 through 8 in James, please?
If he lacks wisdom, let him ask for God. He gives to all generously without reproach. But he must ask in faith without any doubting. The one who doubts is like the servant driven and lost or tossed by the wind. For that man ought not to expect what he will receive anything from being a double-minded man.
Thank you, Kirsten. So we have to ask God. We go to him and ask. We ask God for wisdom because we all need it. We all rely on God's wisdom, not on men's wisdom. And we pray to God and ask him in faith without doubting. Your faith is what you wear 24/7 on your shoulder. And it shows people in the world who you are, a faithful Christian. So wisdom, it's not merely knowledge, which involves facts and information. Wisdom is the ability or insight to properly use those facts in a most expeditious way. Wisdom is applied knowledge. We gain knowledge through reading the Bible. We gain knowledge and apply it. Wisdom is having a grasp of the principles needed in circumstances that will allow us to succeed. The knowledge, not worldly knowledge, it's what God says. We put it into practice. We follow God's instruction. It's the opportunities that we live through that God provides for you and I. The experience that we gain through our various encounters of trials. And finally, it's through God's providential care. He's going to put trials and hardships in our lives that we are going to face. And we are going to grow from them. We are going to grow spiritually. And we're going to mature. So why does James introduce the theme of riches and poverty in the next section, in this particular reading? And can I get someone to read verses 9 through 11, please?
Rich man whose glory in his humiliation is like the flowering grass he will pass away. For the sun rises in the scorching wind and withers the grass, and its flowers fall off, and the beauty of his appearance is destroyed. So too the rich man, in the midst of his pursuit, is fading.
Thank you very much, James. So why does James introduce rich people and people who are poor?
Values rich people.
Yeah.
The poor person can be rich, but they're rich in the Lord in an entirely different way.
They're rich in spiritual things, right? Dean?
Well, I think that he's impressing upon us, if we talk about this in other classes, and I really like this class because of the approach that James takes. Instead of the question, why do the evil prosper? And I don't think that we're supposed to look at it that way.
Mm-hmm.
I think right here it tells us, if you're of humble means, glorify God. If you're a high position and wealth, glorify God. And then we can read through our other studies that both of those people are going to face trials and temptations. But one is going to face a completely different set of trials and temptations and added temptations and added criticism. So it's be where you're at, accept where you're at. You can always look to better yourself. But whatever station you're at in life, we can give glory to God.
Exactly.
You know, and if I'm going through trials and temptations and I'm overcoming those through my trust and my faith in God, the amount of growth that I experience, that wealth of knowledge, that wisdom that we just talked about, it's just insurmountable. Where if you take a person where life is all sunshine and roses, they just never face trials, they will never grow. You don't know how to handle a debate with a person until you've debated a person. You don't know how to handle conflict with a person until you handle conflict. How you're going to handle. I remember praying for patience. But I remember when I was younger praying for patience. And I got blindness. And then I became a diabetic. And then I got arthritis. And I still have to, when you deal with these health things, and maybe that's God saying, this is the way I'm going to get you. This is how I'm going to give you wisdom. But whatever it is, I can't just sit and mope and feel sorry for myself and just quit living for God and quit doing for other people, quit being an example. You can be more of an example.
Exactly.
You know, I think about Paul Cook all the time. The trials and temptations that man went through. From the time when he was in the war all the way through his life, family members dying and all of the sickness and the illness. But he was a light of encouragement. And there's so many before that. So all of this just speaks to the fact that quit worrying about what's going on in the world. Accept the fact that what's going on in the world is an opportunity for us to work and grow.
and try to encourage those who are in the world to bring them to Christ. Very good point. When we see that rejoice in one's life status, the poor believe and exalt are exalted by Christ. And he says that during the Beatitudes. And the rich believer is humbled by Jesus. Rich face danger, false security, figured money is going to help them. The body of the riches age and dies just like us. And he uses the illustration in this particular section about the burning heat of the sun and the flowers withering. Everything's going to fade away in this world. The poor believer is exalted. The believer of the lowest status is rejoicing in the Lord, putting God first. And that's one thing that we should recognize. It doesn't mean that he's rejoicing that he's poor or unhealthy or crippled. It means he's rejoicing for the Lord. Despite all the circumstances, no matter what trouble he encounters. And the poor believer doesn't allow his status to defeat him, but rather conquers his status in order to develop a strong spirit. The wisdom of God will enable that person to conquer any trial or temptation thrown at him. Whereas the rich is not accepted by God based on his wealth. His wealth or high status means nothing to God. All men, no matter what their status, stands before God as equals. And let the rich rejoice in that, in God before him, and accept him for his faith. A rich believer must use his earthly wealth to help meet the needs of the starving, impoverished, diseased, homeless, sinful, dying, and the lost. So what are the results of trials? James says in verse 12, blessed is the man who perseveres on the trial. For once he has been approved, he will receive a crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. So that's what we're persevering for when we encounter trials. We want to receive the crown of life. We want to be with God in heaven. And God is sovereign over our trials. We learn to grow in his likeness when we encounter trials. We learn to trust in his wisdom. We learn to rely on his resources. And we learn to live for his reward. That's eternal life. Trials and temptations make us more perfect, make us entire, mature, and also complete. That's what we do when we encounter trials in our lives. And finally, what do trials that you encounter in your personal Christian walk do for you? Think about it. What do trials enable you to better become? Very good point. Anybody else? Very good. Anybody else want to take a shot at that? Okay, Carol.
You have sorrows or low points. The opposite, when you have the high points, the love, it is so amplified because you have known the sorrows.
Exactly.
It's beneficial for you in that way.
Absolutely. I put down, it increases my faith. It strengthens my defense against Satan. And these trials that I encounter, allow me to please God because I overcome them with his help by seeking his wisdom. Are there anybody else want to add to our class this morning? I appreciate all your comments and observations that you shared with the class. And like I said, next week, John will take over from here and continue with our study of James.